What up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. We've got JP over there. I'm Nick. That's Jesse down there in the corner. Hopefully they edit this right and we get the
It won't.
We're all on a row now. So
the last one didn't edit out right.
I think it's all Jesse's good. Over there and Nick's over there.
Wait, so JP middle, Nick left, Jesse right. Okay.
Anyway, whatever. Another episode of Dadcast. We have an amazing guest today, Mike Merrill. I'm so excited for this one. I've been following him on Instagram. He's a bow hunter, an entrepreneur. I didn't do as big of a deep dive as JP usually does on the intro, so let's just jump into it, guys.
Yeah, you may remember him from such films as that 70s show. He was in the 80s show. There was the 90s. No, I'm just kidding, man. He was in none of that. Hi, Michael. Welcome to the show, man. Thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. This is going to be a lot of fun. The rite of passage, the very first question we like to ask here on Dadcast is, and if you're not at school, are you a dad?
I'm a dad. Yep. Four times over.
Four and times.
Granddad. Four times.
Yeah.
Also four times.
Yep.
Nick.
Yes, and you said a granddad?
Yep. I got two grandbabies and one on the way that'll be here in about 2 months.
Wow. So. And how old are you? I mean, let's just get right into it. How is that even possible, man? Your beard isn't even gray.
I
kind of okay.
I carry my stress differently.
Fair enough.
I turned 50 in October.
Okay, so all of us are like
wrong.
Yeah, we're shot right. Say, I'll be 50 this year.
There we go.
Except I still have all my hair. But I'd rather have, I don't know, would I rather have the color intact with my beard or no hair? What do you do?
Well, don't they make stuff to help offset the color difference?
There you go.
That stuff.
There's a thing called clippers and a razor. JP could, sample out the baldness, leave the beard and see what happens.
Dude, I'll do it right now. I'll go get Let's the clippers and shave it do right it. Off.
I dare you.
No, I can't. I'm going to Florida in a week. I'm going to Florida
right
in a week.
Now, $100 right now to shave it on the podcast.
Michael, tell me about your kids. How old are they? Boys, girls, all the pertinence.
All right. I got three girls and one boy. The oldest is a daughter. She's 26. She's the one that's expecting her second. And then I have a 25-year-old son and he's married and has a little baby girl that's coming up on 1 year here soon. And then I have a 21-year-old daughter and I have a daughter that's 17, almost 18. She's just a senior in high school. So that's where they span out.
Wow, man. So we're all girl dads here. Okay, nice. Or at least I am. Yeah. Jesse, you as well. One. Yeah, but she's
my youngest.
But she's itty bitty.
Yep. She's still nice.
Yeah, she still loves you.
yeah.
Did you or have you or are you currently going through with your daughter, your youngest daughter here, where it's just so difficult? She knows everything. You know nothing. And all of a sudden, the like and love is kind of dissipated for a while. Is that something you've experienced?
Yeah, she's still pretty sweet to me, but she doesn't, she doesn't act like she needs me or her mom very much for anything. Now we're great for, being the ATM and whatever else, making sure she has her needs met. But as far as the extracurricular stuff, it's a bonus when we can get her to, be interested in what we got going on.
Right, man. I have a 19-year-old. She'll be 20 this year. And I was a few episodes back, I was telling Nick how she has gone over the hump and is back to calling and hanging out and loving on dad again, from like 13, 14 to just recently, it was pulling teeth, difficult fights. I mean, we're talking World War III sometimes, same with Nick. And, and in a lot of our interviews, a lot of the dads we've spoken with, it doesn't matter. There's no rhyme or reason to it. No matter whether you're a big old movie star or you're an influencer like yourself, an hunter entrepreneur or a sports guy and a football player, they all seem to go through the same thing with their teenage daughters. And I'm just glad that it's over the hump, but my baby girl's 10 and I have it to look forward to. And there's Nick, Jesse, I'm seeing twinges, little twinges in Avery, you guys, little bits of just that little bit of attitude that I'm freaking out. I'm freaking out. So, it's my baby girl who loves me, and I'm seeing it.
So Sophie, my 1-year-old, learned no yesterday.
Oh yeah,
no. Nice. Yeah, yeah, it's good times. I'm like, Sophie, come here. No.
Oh, this is what's happening with me and Addie right now. So Addie is my youngest. I have three boys and a daughter. So I've got a 22-year-old serving the Army. Got a 16-year-old his junior year in high school. I've got a six-year-old.
Close enough.
Yeah, close enough. And then I've got Addie, who's my three-year-old daughter that's getting ready to turn four this April. She told me no this morning when I said, I've got to go to work. And she went, no, Dad, stay with me.
That's a different type of no, Jesse.
Right, but it still hits the heart, right? I watched a documentary last night where this guy was explaining being a girl dad. And I thought that he explained it the best when he said it's like they reach into your chest, they grab the heart, they pull it out, they look at you straight in the eyes and say, this now belongs to me. There's no other way of explaining it. And I don't know if it's going to matter age-wise, but if this is what I've got to look forward to the next 17 years, I'm screwed.
I feel like we're watching Temple of Doom and you got like the Shakura stones or something.
Wait till you have grandbabies. Then your heart becomes a whole, it just totally metamorphosizes into something.
Well, that may be happening sooner than later. Yeah. My 22-year-old who works intelligence for the Army in Maryland, his girlfriend just moved in with him. We all know that, you know, things happen.
Tell us about that. So your first grandbaby was from your daughter. Is that correct? Yep. See, that right there, I've envisioned this day in my life where your daughter brings a daughter into this world. I got the heebie-jeebies just thinking about it. Describe for us the experience for you when that day happened. Actually, take us back to when you found out.
Okay, so interestingly enough, so our first grandchild is a grandson.
Right.
So that's a different kind of, but yeah.
Right. I want to know about the girl.
The grandbaby. I'm fishing buddy.
Okay, yeah, so yeah. We got that. The girl, yeah, my son's wife had a girl, and her name is Sailor, S-A-Y-L-E-R, and she has the biggest, bluest eyes and the long eyelashes, and she just loves her. The grandkids call me Poppy. So she just loves her Poppy. And I think my son looks enough like me. There's enough similarity. She must make that connection because it feels like she recognizes something in me, you know, even from the beginning. But yeah, it's my gosh. I mean, as soon as that happens and you realize that you've got this other legacy and this other little human being that you're going to protect and provide for in a very different way. And not disciplined, surely. I mean, we're just going to love them to pieces and then hand them back when they do something wrong. But yeah, it's indescribable, honestly, being a granddad.
Amazing. When I was the first grandbaby, the grand boy, was that birthed from your son or son's wife?
So the grand boy, my grandson, is my oldest daughter's son.
Okay,
so that's their first child, and he was the first.
We don't have the Merrill name yet down to the next generation.
Not yet.
All right.
But she's expecting here in 2 months, and we'll see.
Okay. All right. Well, man, I'm rooting for team boy on that one because, you know, that's important. Yeah. Got to keep that line.
Yeah, carry the legacy. Line.
Yes. That's it. I tell my son, my son, who's 13. So now you figured out I have three kids, two daughters and a son. Son's in the middle. He's 13, mm-hmm. going on 18. By the way, he's going through all the bad stuff, Nick. Jesse, I don't know what happened to you. If you accidentally hit a button, come back, please. Now I gotta edit this differently because you hit a button. You know, so let's timestamp that. 1727. He is the only son from myself and my brothers and sisters. So it's up to him to have a boy at some point down the line to carry on that Pierce last name. And I keep telling him, hey, no pressure. but
what a great young man he is, though.
You're it. Yeah. But man, he's been kind of difficult this past year. You know, puberty is hitting hard. There's a lot of pushback on getting up and going to school and doing anything and taking direction and, you know, the typical stuff that we all go through, but now it's full circle and I'm on the other end of it. And it's just, you know what I mean? It's difficult, man. No one said that this job was going to be fun, but boy, do I love it. But sometimes I just, sometimes I want to take a week off and go to Florida eating fish tacos without my kids.
Wait, isn't that like a week and a half away?
10 days, baby.
Ooh, nice.
Hey, I'm Reno in 5, Vegas in 6.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. You're supposed to say something, Mike?
I'm headed back. I've been in Vegas the last 2 weeks in a row, and I'm headed back down there on Monday again for another trade show for work. So
how long are you going to be there? Are you there through Super Bowl weekend?
No, I am there till Thursday. Yeah. So
I drive in. I'm driving 13 hour drive.
You're driving, huh?
I am driving.
Okay.
Nice.
By the way, I want to tell you all a story. I want to share a story with you, Mike. So Jesse Dugas down there, he, for the past week, I don't know if he did it on purpose or he gets a thrill out of what I'm about to tell you, but or if it's strictly coincidental, you know, who knows, to all the, you know, followers and watchers out there, I'll let you judge for this, but, I'm going to preface this with, I'm a huge Raider fan since I was a little boy in football.
Nice.
And he calls me up. First thing he says, about 4, 5, 6 days ago, and says, JP, don't be mad. I says, okay, here we go. All right. What did you do? And he goes, I got invited to go to Vegas. And basically, to sum it up, he's going to Vegas early for Super Bowl weekend to hang out with a bunch of freaking Hall of Famers, and one of them happens to be Marcus Allen, who's a Hall of Fame Raider player. And he knew that it would be like, oh, and jealousy immediately hit. And I told him how much of a jerk he was, and I probably cussed him out and did a bunch of things. And then not only that, he goes to the casino and the game we love to play together that I introduced him to, mind you. He's won like 3 times, like big amounts of money 3 times in a row right after. Okay. It's 4 now. Okay. And then the last time I went there, I lost hundreds gone. See, it peace. But this guy, he just keeps winning. Now, with that being said, I want to tell you face to face, Jesse, that I've been thinking about the last week, and I am a grown ass man who should not have acted out that way. I apologize. And I actually wish you so much fun, happiness, and luck, dude. That's an experience of a lifetime, bro. I'm so glad you get to experience it, man. Take a lot of pictures. And for the love of God, if you do get right there with Marcus Allen, give me a friggin' FaceTime, man. And set up a dad casting, you know.
Yeah, at least ask him to be on the podcast. Come on.
So this is the thing. There was never any negative feelings towards me. Come on, dude. I knew when I called you. But for me, it was like, you know, Brian made this invite and said, I need you to get down here to handle my social media.
Yeah, I get it.
Right. And so when Brian called, I'm like, shit, this is literally JP's dream. Literally.
Right.
Like, this is Vegas Raiders Super Bowl.
Brian, I can handle social media for a weekend. Just saying. It's
so I knew that before it got back to you, it needed to come from me.
Right.
Now, the casino wins, as I told you yesterday when I won. I'm superstitious. Yeah. After I won the first time and called you to tell you about it, then I won again. I called you and told you about it, then I won again.
But that's a backward superstition. How do you know you're going to win? Are you telling yourself, I'm going to call JP
win? So, hey, if I don't win, I'm not calling.
Right?
I'm setting myself up for the next win.
Fair what enough. Game is this? What game? Everybody's got to be curious.
It's a slot game called
Cuff and Puff. What I've done the last thing, and I don't mind sharing. So what I've done the last month is I walked into this casino with $200.
And he's not a degenerate gambler, by the way.
No, at least not at all. I mean, $200 was my budget.
He's getting there, though.
Yep. So $200 was my budget. I decided that if I win, I will take what I have with me to Vegas. I'm taking over 5G with me to Vegas.
Wow.
Off of $200. And I play.
That's the bank. That's house money right there, man.
And so it's two games I play, and I alternate. One's a table game, one's a slot game. I play Huff and Puff, the slot machine.
More.
And Huff I play and blackjack.
Have you heard about? And we're getting way off track here. I told you right off the rails, man. Here we are. We're gonna get back to Mike Merrill here in just a moment because I'm curious. I especially about that shirt and what he does. But
I'm loving the hat.
Have you heard about even more Huff and Puff, Jesse?
I have.
Yeah, it's not out yet. I can't find it anywhere. It's not available, but all right. Are you a degenerate gambler, Mike?
I am not. Okay. I do. You know, I like to play a little bit, but yeah,
Well, you heard my budget. It was $200.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when I played that. It's the same thing. Take a couple $100 and
yeah.
You can play with the house money for a while.
Super awesome. Lucky and yeah. Turn it into something big. And now sure. He's going to take it to Vegas and think he's all that. And
I'm not. So one, I'm not taking it all.
Play by the rules.
I'm in Vegas and because I'm in Vegas so much, I have a decent amount of free play. And so I will be using my free play while I'm there.
And he's driving. Oof. Gosh, I wish I was going with you, man. Mike Merrill, tell us about yourself, man. What gets your juices flowing?
You know, a lot of things, but generally I just like to get out and get after it, be physical. I like to get, you know, trail runs in and work out. I like to bow hunt. Love the mountains. Love elk hunting in particular. Just the challenge. I'm driven by goals, so I like to have things that are difficult to achieve and kind of lock in on them and do things that are difficult. You know, I cold plunge quite a few times every week, 40 degree, 39 degree water, whatever. I like to do that. I'm really at 50 years old. I've learned that the healthier I can be and the better I can feel, then the happier and more fulfilled I can be in life. So
if I cold plunge, will the gray go away?
Yeah. I looked like Professor Snow on Hunger Games before.
I'm an avid deer hunter. I hunted for 45 minutes before I filled my tag this last year.
Wow. Nice my work.
My biggest buck to date. So nice 3x4, 150 pounds.
Wow. Yeah, nice.
So it's
I wish I could say that I'm right there with you, but I haven't hunted since I was 12 with my uncle in Montana. But I do like guns.
So I prefer to hunt it Safeway. So that's me.
the only way that I can hunt with a bow, however, is if they were close enough for me to stab the animal.
Yeah, there you go. That can be more accurate.
Where do you live, Mike?
So I live in Utah. Okay. I'm about 45 minutes south of Salt Lake City in a beautiful town called Salem, just right on a mountain bench.
And is there a lot of wildlife in the area for you to get your thing done around there?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Deer, elk, bears. All kinds of wildlife around here.
You mentioned a little bit ago, you're a goal maker. You set goals. You like to smash them. I'm right there with you. I wouldn't say fitness goals yet, but Nick Martin, I'm about to tell you guys something here for the first time.
Oh, boy.
Okay. We're trying it again, Nick. Today is February 2nd, the date of this recording. It has been 32 days and some change, and I'm down 20 pounds.
Nice. Wow.
All I'm doing is eating once a day, no processed foods. I've cut out all sugar. I haven't had a sip of soda. Other than I do get my daily Rockstar, which I don't consider soda. There is some sugar content, but that's it. Once a day. So I'm basically fasting every damn day. By noon every day, I am starving, but that's all I've done. And by the way, the one meal a day has been Chipotle every single day because it's good for nice. You. And it's all natural stuff. There's nothing processed in it, but 20 pounds. So I was 259 when I weighed myself the other morning. When I turn 50 in December, gentlemen, I will be 200 pounds or less. Wow. I'm holding myself accountable. It's right here. I haven't been 200 since high school. So this is going to happen this time. It's gonna freaking happen this time.
You got this, dude.
Speaking of goals, Mike. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. But this isn't about me. This is about you. What is your current goal that you're after?
So right now, I'm kind of like you on the weight thing. So I'm trying to get down to about 215. So I'm about 235 right now. I'm broad shouldered, and I probably have a big head. I don't know what all contributes to all of this, but. But I did, about 2 years ago, I did the 75 hard program. I don't know if you've heard of that or familiar. Okay. So basically it's, Andy Frisella that started First Form, which is a supplement company, been around about 20 years. He's actually has one of the top podcasts in the country too. Pretty awesome man. And I actually saw him speak live here in Salt Lake about 2 months ago. It was amazing. But anyway, he came up with this program where you follow a diet plan of some sort. Basically, you're committed to this thing. You work out twice a day. One of them has to be outside for 45 minutes minimum. So physical activity. You drink a gallon of water a day. You weigh yourself every day and document that weight. You take progress photos from each angle, each side and front and behind every day, basically to document this journey. And then the last thing is you read 10 pages from a paper book every single day that's nonfiction, basically self-improvement, self-help, something that's going to add to your wisdom, knowledge, or, you know, understanding in life. So super cool program. I lost 50 pounds in 75 days doing that. And that was just amazing. I put a few of them back on. So my goal is to trim back down and get down to where I need to be. And so that's my current thing that I'm doing right now.
Gotcha, man. Good. Smash them goals. Nick, this is a conversation that you're going to carry on right here, because I know you got questions regarding it.
I do. So I'm watching. Your son has a supplement company, right?
He does. So
right? I send him an email. I'm trying to, haven't had time to finish up the emails back and forth, but to become a brand rep, because I want to try everything.
Oh, nice. Nice. So
what can you tell me anything about it before I?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. His company, it's called Primal Performance Supplements, and he is, and his physique is crazy, off the charts, like bodybuilder type. I mean, super strong. And he's the 25-year-old with the little granddaughter, Sailor. And he's been working on it a while, and for about the last 10 years, he's just a fitness nut. And so he, when I get my labs or my blood work done or anything, I send them to him, and he basically debriefs me and tells me everything that's going on, what I need to be taking, what I need to cut down or improve on. I mean, just, you know, I hear the same information from my doctor. So he's just kind of a nut about all of that stuff. So, he loves it so much. He just really wanted to have an opportunity to help people in that area that he's so passionate about. So.
Very cool. And then as far as like bow hunting and stuff, it's like I follow a lot of Joe Rogan and Cam Haynes. So there's a lot of different type of workouts, a lot of kettlebells, definitely a lot of road running. So do you incorporate what they're doing with your workouts and stuff? And
I do. Yeah. I like you know, I've been a big fan of Cam Haynes and Rogan also for a long time, but I've been following Cam for almost 10 years now. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I first saw what he was doing, I thought this guy's crazy. What's he doing? You know, carrying a rock up the mountain and all this stuff. But this lift, run, shoot mantra that he has, basically, you know, get some weight work in every day, go for a run, and then shoot your bow, kind of practice that precision on your passion, right? And focus on being in great shape so that when you're in the mountains, you can be limitless. And so I just adopted that and love everything about that. I mean, I used to take my target and my bow and my truck, and I'd go and drive up, park up the base of the mountain, go trail running, come back down, shoot my bow while I'm puffing and still tired, right? And then go home and hit a workout or go to the Vasa gym and just try and do all those things in one day. And after you do that, you you consistently put that work in, you realize, man, I'm getting stronger, I'm feeling better, I'm more accurate with my bow, I feel more confidence. And so I think just everything that encapsulates by really focusing on and having a purpose-driven goal really helps you lock in and achieve your potential versus, you know, never really know what you could have done if you would have actually put the work in.
Right.
Oh,
good.
Go ahead.
What's your best hunt or most enjoyable hunt that you've been on?
It's funny because I have there was one elk hunt in particular, and I didn't end up bringing this bull home, but I kind of chased him, had trail cameras and kind of pattern where he was at. And I hunted him all, this is probably 4 or 5 years ago, hunted him all archery season and ended up missing him opening morning. Just, I still don't know exactly what happened or how I missed, but had this perfect shot. We're videoing it. The sun's just coming up. You can hear the birds. The sun is glimmering off of this bull elk, and he's kind of, you know, sauntering through with his head moving, and he had velvet horns still, 'cause it was kind of early season. I mean, just an epic, picture perfect fairy tale opportunity. And I didn't get him. I missed him. Oh. And so I spent the next week trying to find that bull again, and actually did end up getting one more chance at him. And I did end up hitting him, anyway, it turned out he wasn't wounded lethally. He ended up, you know, getting away, healing up. I had somebody sending me pictures of him the next year. He was even bigger and crazier. But I think just the, even though that one doesn't have the happy ending like you like on your hunts, and especially wounding something is, you know, super stressful. I mean, you love these animals, you respect them, you appreciate them, you don't want to do anything but you know, be successful in the hunt and provide for your family. But when it doesn't work out and they get hurt or something doesn't go perfectly as you drew it up, it's nice to find out, okay, you know, he lived and he was okay. And you know, those elk are tough animals. They take a horn jab, you know, all the time when they're fighting, and they live through some crazy stuff, you know, evading predators, bears and mountain lions and everything else. So they're just amazing animals. But I just had so many great memories of that journey and that experience, even though it didn't end the way that I typically like a hunt to. It was still something that I, you know, think about a lot.
Go ahead, JP.
I have a hypothetical for you, Mike. Sure. Is somehow, some way, the U.S. government decides that a capital punishment can be hunting live humans. Are you in?
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I'm not interested in that. No, I'm not. But I might help protect those that are being hunted.
All right. Okay. I
seem to remember a certain movie with Ice-T.
The most dangerous game, I think, right?
Yes. Surviving game, dude. Oh, come on.
Okay.
Come on.
What's the standard range for a bow shot?
You know, where I'm at, and I don't know, where are you at? Where's home?
Southern Oregon.
Oh, Oregon.
Oh, nice. It's cool.
Very cool.
This is the place, so, man. There's.
Yeah, we're literally 2.5 hours south of where Cam lives.
Oh, yeah. Okay, nice. Very cool. Yeah, I've been up there quite a bit that way. So that's great. Love Oregon. So, yeah, for me and the game that I hunt and where I'm usually at, I mean, if you're anywhere between 20 and 60 yards, you're, you know, I mean, ideally they're somewhere in the middle of that, you know, 30, 40 yards is kind of a chip shot, more of a, you know, close range opportunity. Not as much can go wrong. You start spreading the distance out and all of a sudden you find that the slightest little change or tweak, or, you know, if you hit a limb or you do it, or the wind, I mean, all these other things are factors the further out you get. So in fact, I'm doing one in Montana this year and then one in Salt Lake this shoot. So fun. It's 3D targets up on ski resorts, and you ride the lift up and then you go through this track, and they have like 25 targets set up, and you hike for like 5 or 6 miles along this path to get to each of these targets. It's amazing. But anyway, it's called Total Archery Challenge. I'm going up to Montana in June to do this again. And they'll be anywhere from 20 yards to even like 125 yards, just for fun, you know, just to kind of see what you can do and what your capabilities are and where your confidence is. And so I always try and get good out at a range that's up to twice what I want to really shoot. Right. So if I want to be good at 50 yards, if I can dial it in at 100 and be pretty consistent and get kind of a volleyball size group, then I'm doing pretty well.
Do you take your kids hunting with you?
Yeah, I do. He's getting more into it. We're actually going up on a archery bear hunt in Canada in May. So we're really excited about that.
I've had the opportunity to drop a few bears. I haven't been able to pull the trigger. For the reason I don't enjoy the flavor. And so I would have to give it away. And I'm not going to let it go to waste. And two, that's a lot of processing. So, yeah. I mean, a deer is pretty simple.
So I love that part of it too. Honestly, I love processing my own meat. I mean, I got the grinder and I wrap it and I cut it and I shrink wrap it. And that's just another, I'll watch hunting videos, you know, in the kitchen while I'm, you know, cutting the meat up and preparing it. And then I'll smoke it on the Traeger barbecue for the kids and the family, invite them over for Sunday dinner. And so, I mean, it's like full, like field to table experience where I'm involved in every part of the process. And that's, again, back to that fulfillment that you get when you take part in, you know, instead of just like going to Walmart and grabbing a tri-tip or something. I mean, that's still great too. Still love it. But man, when you get it yourself from the sweat of your own brow and putting all that work and preparation into it, it's like gold to you. You know,
Go ahead, Jess.
Anything exotic that you've processed that isn't on that norm? Any cougar?
Yeah, cougar. And I did my, I processed my own bear also. Yeah, actually I've been mountain lion hunting this year. Haven't gotten one yet, but we're still working after it. But yeah, they're actually, I have had mountain lion before and been on a few hunts. They honestly taste kind of like pork, if you could believe it. It's really not bad.
Interesting.
So,
and back to my earlier question, what if the humans were zombies? Then we good?
Yeah, I think we can arrange some things.
I got
a lot of guns too. So yeah, I like guns.
Know but, what that yeah. says about me or it, but I've thought more than I probably should have about just a little part of me was like, you know, I wouldn't mind a zombie apocalypse that bad because then you can just get rid of all the stupid Open ones, you know, and it's okay. Can't think that or do that these days. And, you know, I probably shouldn't think that much. Now I'm incriminated and it's out there. All right. Well, think of it as you will. Hey, dude,
I think zombies are fair game.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Just don't live next to a cemetery, man. Which brings up more questions. Are they going to come out of it? It's neither here nor there. All right, wow. Nick, why are you shaking your head at me, man?
Sometimes I'm in shock and awe and like, wow, we went way off the rails.
Entertaining, man. Entertaining. Yeah.
This was off the rails.
It was a movie, buddy. It was a movie. Like we can't throw people in the woods. And there's a couple of them.
Yeah.
We just can't take them out in the mountains and let them loose. And then let some rich guys go.
Already established that if they were zombies, Mike is in. Now we're moving on.
They're okay. Saying no purge officially.
Yeah.
Well.
Oh man, Nick, did you put together a fast five? I would love to get to that right now.
You know what I did?
All right, Mike. I work in radio, and nice. I used to have a segment called the Fast Five, where we'd ask one of the guests five quick questions, not necessarily important questions. They're fun. They're off the bat, and I gave it to Nick. Nick, here we go.
All right. What is your funniest dad fail?
Oh man, geez, that can't, how can that be fast? I got to think here. Dad fail. Funny.
I think he has one. I can
think
one.
Of some of the words so funny. I'm trying to think here, like when I.
Glad I've never been asked these questions.
Nick left his kid on the top of a car in a grocery cart.
No, I left it in a grocery cart at Walmart. Yeah. Yeah. And drove away.
Oh boy. Yeah. 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 We've left the kid at grandma's and grandpa's before, you know, forgot to put the baby in the car seat or something like that. But
grandma and grandpa is not Walmart.
That's true.
Not
that's
a Walmart true. Parking lot.
That's true. Part. That's true. Yeah. Funny dad fail, man.
It turns out Mike's perfect. He's never failed as a dad. And we can take answer.
I'm sure okay. I have. I just don't know what it is yet.
All right. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
Live life at full draw. I like it.
Nice.
Ironically. I think in this day and age, we have a challenge in society being present and being grateful for what we have and where we are and the blessings that we do have. And so I just think people in general need to be more engaged in what they're doing now. And if they don't like what they're doing or they're not happy, then they need to do something different so that they can be happy and fulfilled. And so I think putting that onus back on individuals is really where I think society needs to get to.
I like it.
On that topic, what do you do when their life seems to be fulfilled staring at one of these all damn day?
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Therein lies the problem for me.
Yeah,
not me personally, but that's what I see.
Like, yeah, sure. Yeah, I've caught myself. You know, my son's playing football or tennis or something, and I'm trying to video and get the shot of something and I'm missing the match.
I did it last night.
I'm not, you know,
literally my son's wrestling match.
Yeah,
I'm halfway through it, and I'm staring at the screen to make sure it's centered on him, even though I'm watching it, but I'm watching it through the screen and not.
Right. Right.
And I was like, what am I doing? But my son, says, you know, dad, you get the video. Did you get the video? I'm like, yes. Next time, can I not? And he's like, no, you got to record it. I was like, but I think I'm going to get a tripod next time. Hit record and that's that. But sorry, Nick, go ahead. Number three.
Okay. Advice for busy dads to fit in some gym time.
Well, I don't sleep a lot compared to some people. Like 4 or 5 hours, I'm totally golden. And so for me, it's not hard to just get up early. I also can work out at night too, either way. I mean, I could burn the candle at either end. So, but I think just for general people, I think you need to schedule that time. And if it means waking up 30 or 45 minutes earlier, or if it means, you know, I'm hitting the gym during lunch at work, if you can do that. But I also think the key to that is setting that expectation, that goal with your significant other, so that you are getting support and encouragement, because if they're not on board with you doing this, then it's going to be another thing that actually is a problem, and it will come off as negative and not be something where you can feel good about it and focus on being healthy. Because if you're healthy, you can take a lot better care of your loved ones.
Awesome.
Facts.
Favorite meal to cook for your kids and grandkids? Man.
I have a guess.
Elk backstrap.
Ooh. That's what was my
on
guess.
The Traeger, slow smoked.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was going to say a smoked meat of some sort.
Yeah.
So Ari, we only had four today because you already asked the favorite bow hunt question. Somebody did.
Okay.
So that was my other question. Right, so anyway,
I'm going to do the question that we don't ask every time, Nick.
All right.
I feel like we're going to test Mike out here. No pressure, by the way. This isn't crazy controversial. Let me give you a little backstory. I asked a certain someone when I work in radio this question. I actually asked this question of everyone, but this certain guy answered it so profoundly that it took almost 15, 20 years for another person to match that answer or copy it to where we went, oh my gosh, that's as good as the original answer. Again. Okay. So here's the question. What's one thing you can't leave the house without?
Intention.
Oh! I'm going to put it in the top 10. I'm going to put it in the top 10. That is very, very good. See, most people, and that's fine. Even if you say, my phone, my keys, my iPad. Another guy said BlackBerry a few years ago. Whatever. You know, those are fine. But I'm looking for, you know, something deep like that. There was a guy by the name of Mr. George Thorogood. And the Destroyers. I asked that question to on the air once, and without skipping a beat, he answered, kissing my wife.
Nice.
And it still is the number one answer to this day, although some people have gotten real, real close. And like I said, top 10, intention. You cannot leave the house without. I love that. That is something that everyone should absolutely do every single day. What that intention is, hopefully it's pure and it's good and it's goal-oriented. But yeah, man, that's a great answer. I love that one. And on that note, Jesse, that's Dadcast. See, I'm kidding. We're done. I'm just No, we're not going anywhere, man. I'm going to dig down into the reaches of the questions. I ask this one a lot, almost every single episode. I've been trying not to do it, but it's such a gosh darn good question that we're going to ask it. Mike, how old is your oldest kid?
26.
26 years ago and 9 months, give or take, you found out you were going to become a father for the first time. Can you recall that day and the emotions that went through your head?
I do. I got teared up. I was really, really, really excited.
Yeah. Fast forward 9 months from there. Were you in the room?
I was in the room.
How was that experience for you?
Frightening, but also amazing at the same time. It was a wonderful experience, but yeah, definitely, deer in the headlights for a minute, you know, like, okay, wait, all right, I guess we're here.
Nick can relate. So, he has 87 children. So it's
plus the 90. He don't know about.
Only three moms, but
that's hilarious. Are you a sports fan of any sort? I mean, I obviously hunting, but like, you know, football, baseball, et cetera.
Yeah, I love it. And it is interesting as I've gotten older. I love the Super Bowl. I love, you know, I love the playoffs. I love the NBA finals. I like golf. I have plenty of Marcus Allen rookie cards, by the way. I was a sports card collector all growing up.
Are you a Raider fan?
I was as a young man with Marcus Allen, and
then you got smarter.
No. Yeah. But obviously once, you know, once they, kind of diminished off of my radar here right. in Utah where I'm at, I mean, we kind of get to pick.
So who's your team? Who's your team these days?
Team. So I actually like the Chiefs.
Oh, God. Jesse and I can finally agree with something together on the show.
Yeah, we're going to cancel this episode.
No, oh, boy. No, oh, boy.
Listen, man. And that's Dadcast.
Listen, man. That's, dude. If you were a Chief fan 7 years ago or farther back,
you're
good. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's fine.
I lived in San Diego my entire youth, grew up a Charger fan, still a Charger fan, even though they moved to LA.
Sure.
So it's hard to root for the Chiefs, but how do you go against the person that Patrick Mahomes is, the person the coach that Andy Reid is, and the personality of Travis Kelce? How do you dislike that?
Yeah.
You're a Raider fan.
You're a Niners fan?
Go ahead. Point at yourself, Nick.
We have the nicest quarterback in the world. Come on. Brock Purdy is the most down-to-earth.
Oh, we're talking sports. This is my favorite.
Come on.
Now. Okay.
Down-to-earth, nicest man on the entire planet.
All right.
Hey, JP, am I the only one impressed that he knows who the quarterback of the 49ers is?
Wow. No. You know, it's okay. All right. Where do you go to college, Nick? Then I'll be impressed.
I have no idea.
Okay.
Iowa?
Yes. Iowa State, yes. I believe.
Wow, nice.
And you know his brother's a better quarterback, though.
How would you know that?
I was told that the other day.
So, the Raiders beat the Chiefs at home this year. Does that mean they're a better team? And it's
pretty cool. They're pretty all. Yeah.
Ooh, that was Christmas Day. That cool. literally cool. made my Christmas. I didn't care imagine. What else happened. The rest of the day, my kids got their gifts. They were super happy. And then it came to my son, who's super into football with me now, which is really cool. He's gravitated to being a Raider fan, which I did not push on him at all. I just bought him a Raider onesie and a jersey every year. Okay. I didn't say he had to be a Raider fan.
Yeah, you had no influence.
He became a Raider fan along with dad, which was amazing. But after that game, it was just, it didn't matter what happened the rest of that day. It's like, that was our Super Bowl for what it's worth. But here they are back again. By the way, once again, this is recorded on the 2nd. So Super Bowl is 9 days away from the date of this recording. The Niners are taking on the Chiefs in Las Vegas. And that right there, that single fact is what upsets me more than anything. The Chiefs and or the Niners are going to raise a Super Bowl trophy in my stadium before the Raiders ever got to.
Did you see the construction worker?
Yes, they put the stupid Chief. I think a Charger and a Broncos fan did it as well. There's literally all AFC West gear of some sort buried in the concrete foundation of Allegiant Stadium over there.
Hey, I have a dad question before we wrap this thing up. Who do you look up to? Who do you idolize? Who is your biggest contributor in the turning you into a dad as far as your parenting style goes?
Well, I mean, I definitely have a kind of an amalgamation of different people. My father died when I was 13, so I was young. He died at 45 of a heart attack. So obviously influenced me greatly up to that point. But after that, I had uncles. I had neighbors step in, like scoutmasters, other people that really stepped in, and older brothers. My oldest brother's 8 years older than me, so I definitely had. It was kind of by committee that I had those roles. But I guess if I was going to talk about one constant, my grandpa on my mother's side was an amazing influence on me and all of my family. Just lived an amazing life. Was just a super focused individual that, you know, kept on the straight and narrow. Was a leader in his community, was involved politically, he was a postmaster at the small town post office. So back, you know, in the 60s and 70s, when a post office was, you know, kind of an important part of the community, he was somebody that everybody looked up to and really admired quite a lot. So his name is James Austin Cope III.
Sounds like he should be eating caviar.
Love it.
James Austin Cope III.
That's it.
I didn't have I mean, I got a pretty big ego. Ask anyone. And I don't mean to be. It's toned down over the years. But I don't. My ego was not big enough to give my son, you know, he wasn't going to be second. Jeffrey the second, you know, or the third. I don't know. That seems pretty pompous to me.
Well, your thing.
My ego was. My wife's was not.
Yeah. Mm. Oh. Okay. Fair enough. All right. Hey, man, you know what? So you said you like guns. You like sports, Mike. Do you like the nerdy stuff like Star Wars or movie type things? Star Trek, is that in your wheelhouse at all?
So I enjoy those. I don't get all geeked out on them. No,
okay.
I do. I love watching the movies. I did grow up around all that stuff. That was awesome. But yeah, I don't collect any figurines. I don't have any outfits that I, you know, pull out of the closet in the middle of the night and, you know, go fight my neighbor with a lightsaber. Right, gotcha.
Or well, you're straight up describing
not that guy.
the reason I asked, one of our sponsors on Dadcast, you like that segue, nice. Redcon One Weapons in Eagle Point. I promised I'd do some shout outs more this year, Nick.
Okay.
He built me a custom 300 blackout SBR sniper silver or sniper gray silver Cerakote etched with a little baby Grogu who's Yoda on it. It says this is the way. It's a Mandalorian themed SBR 300. And you can see pictures online. I'm not going to run in the house and open it up and bring it out here and grab it. Although I did think about it. But that was, I'm like, if I saw that twinkle in your eye when I mentioned Star Wars, I would have went and grabbed it, but we're not there. So it is all good.
And Jesse and I would have built.
Yeah, no, Jesse, you loved it. What are you talking about? Jesse hasn't seen it. Have you seen it yet?
You sent it to me.
Sounds beautiful. The 300 blackout. That's a cool.
Yeah, cool. It is sweet.
I just need a silencer, man.
I'm pretty sure he turned his car into Star Wars themed Tesla too, didn't he?
Wow. He did. Yeah.
Little.
And when he says silencer, he needs one for himself as well.
Dadcast would not be what it is today if then we wouldn't have a show, Nick. It would be two guys this.
It would literally be like,
what do I brought Jesse on?
I have to do the intro.
You do, yeah. Okay. And by the way, episode 131 plus at least 20 or 30 bonus episodes. And that's the first time you've done an intro. Tough guy.
Shut up.
All right.
Yeah.
Mike Merrill, before we get out of here today, would you like to share your information so anyone else listening and or watching this episode today can check you out, what you're about, Instagram, all that good stuff?
Yeah, you bet. You can find me at Michael T. Merrill, just all spelled out on Instagram and Facebook, same thing. And yeah, the first. Right. I'm one of one.
You're not even a junior. So, all right. Yeah.
No. You can mostly on Instagram. You can find me almost on LinkedIn, Mike Merrill on LinkedIn. If you're on the business side of things, I do quite a bit there too, but as an entrepreneur, happy to have you come and check us out. Or if you're in the market for supplements, Primal Performance Supplements, my son's company, they started last year. Super cool and a great, great product and something that, you know, can help you improve fitness and your health.
Awesome, man. Nick, I have one final question, but before we get to it, Nick, you got anything?
I got nothing.
Mr. Dugas.
Thank you so much for being a part.
All right. Final question. I asked this. Two questions I guarantee I ask every show. The first one was, are you a dad? The second one, the last one, which I feel is most important. If you could give one piece of advice to any new dad or about to be dad out there, Mike Merrill, what's it going to be?
I would say savor those moments. Remember them, lock them in your heart, and you know, make the most of them because they don't come back.
No, and they're so fast. I look in my rearview mirror, my baby girl, and she was just in a car seat, and now she's talking back. It's just amazing. Literally, you know, no dad. All right. Everyone out there, wherever you may be, however you may be listening or watching, thank you so much for checking out Dadcast. He is Michael Merrill. That guy is Nick Martin. The other guy down there, Jesse Dugas, thank you so much for checking it out. If you're on YouTube, please subscribe, like, comment, do all the things. If you're checking us out on any other social media as well, you know what to do. Like us because it helps a lot. A whole lot. We appreciate you. and we'll check you out on the very next episode of Dadcast. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you
later.
Thanks, John. See you.